Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. This has been a day filled with attorneys, and I think that's all because of this man on the screen with me in the blue shirt, Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Welcome back, my favorite co-host.
Jeff, thank you for including me. It's a pleasure. I'm really excited to be part of this today.
Great. And our next guest, definitely the best dressed attorney of the day. We'll see how we go with content. There's a challenge out there. Alex Matera, partner at Pierce Atwood. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Glad to be here.
So, Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice.
So, I'm a commercial bankruptcy lawyer. I've been doing this a little over 20 years, which makes this my third recession, and have been representing lenders, borrowers, innocent bystanders, and just about all aspects of bankruptcy.
I would think that you're, just before a big boom, but I don't even know if we could handle it. Can the system even handle it? But there's going to be a lot of businesses, I think, going out of business.
Boy, that I don't even know where to begin to respond to that, Jeff. Maybe with the point you make that can the system handle it? There are bankruptcy courts, Southern District in New York, Delaware, traditionally very busy courts. They're already staffing up and adding people in the clerk's offices. These are the same areas where people have been laid off in the past because filings were down. Now they're eager to make sure they have the staff just to handle the volume, never mind the private side, when you think of the impact it's going to have on the businesses and the professionals who serve them.
Great. We were joined by our litigation reporter, Mark Furman, from the law firm Charlo Breed Hart & Rogers. I don't know if you know Mark at all.
I do. Hi, Alex. Hello, nice to see you.
You too. Great.
So, just last week I had to go to a mall to purchase something, and it was a ghost town. And I see restaurants opening where I hang out on my weekends, but they're at 50% capacity and I expect them empty within 3 weeks. I still feel we're sort of at the front end of this economic curve. The government can't bail all of us out forever. So, how do you see all of this playing out? Let's pretend we're not on the radio.
Well, I think you're right in that the wave is still building. We haven't crested yet. We've got a situation where all of the lenders are in deep breath mode. They don't know how to handle this. They know that they can't conduct commercially reasonable foreclosure. And not to mention, for most cases, there's a moratorium on foreclosures. If you're a landlord, you can't evict. If you're a lender to a landlord, you can't very well take the collateral. So you've got debtors who are not yet feeling the pressure from their lenders and vendors. And at the same time, those same borrowers have money injected through the CARES Act and PPP loans. It's become a corporate charge card and they have not yet hit their limit, but it's coming. And the buzz we're getting from banks we talk to is that Labor Day will be the turning point. There'll be a back to school sale once Labor Day rolls around as they start to reinforce these loans and take some measures to collect.
Alex, you know what's interesting is you've always obviously had a great practice, but you were like the go-to for your firms when, and now obviously congratulations on your new partnership at Pierce Atwood. But what I was going to say is now you're the busy person. You're the go-to person extraordinaire because of what's going, for example, I'm sure Pierce Atwood's clients, you've got a lot of businesses that are figuring out about reorganization. You have startups, you have other practice areas that are going to you. And so you're working collaboratively. You were the person that was there when they needed you. Now you're the person that they need.
Well, I appreciate your perspective on it, Mark. I don't hold a grudge when no one wants to talk to me in the good times. I just keep my head down and do my work. But it's definitely an interesting, busy time. My phone is ringing a lot. Not all of it's work yet. A lot of it are prudent businesses and lenders looking ahead to think, as Jeff asked, what's going to happen? What will the landscape look like in a month, in 3 months, at the end of the year? The smart ones are getting in place on that now. We've been running webinars through our firm for bank clients and for lenders to try to get them positioned for the inevitable downturn. Now we're in it, and the people who are already thinking ahead will be the ones to come out of it in a healthy way.
Yeah, you do a lot of counseling, right? I know because you've nicely included me on your webinars, but you put on a regular basis for your clients. You do a lot of counseling before this comes so you can get ahead of it. But what's interesting, your firm works with the lending. So obviously, as companies need money, and you work with, obviously represent a lot of banks, so you do a lot of that in lending, and you work collaboratively as far as what you do with commercial bankruptcy. So it's interesting that your firm does both, represents the lenders and can assist on the back end with the bankruptcy litigation and the reorganizations, anything obviously commercial bankruptcy. So that's unusual.
We do try to cover the full spectrum. We do a lot of work for lenders, a lot of work on the creditor side, but that doesn't necessarily preclude work for the companies as well. And with a practice that spans just about every area with nearly 200 attorneys throughout New England and beyond, naturally we're representing a good deal of companies. So long as we don't have conflicts, we're eager to find solutions for those companies. And we work cooperatively with our lenders to the extent we can achieve a result that's beneficial for everyone. We've been able to do that in an amicable way.
Excellent. Excellent. Are you finding when you're working, because as you say, when you're working with your businesses and trying to help them with their issues, you find that you're also touching base with a lot of them in terms of giving them advice so they can start planning? Because this pandemic, and especially when you're talking about a lot of companies in the hospitality business, it's not going away. In fact, they're talking about it potentially getting worse in the fall.
Very much so. We're definitely working with the idea that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And to the extent we can get them positioned to come out of this or to protect our lenders who are lending to these very companies, we need to do that. We're reading statistics that 30-35% of restaurant businesses in Massachusetts will disappear in the coming months. That's a staggering figure. We're watching in the liquor industry licenses in Boston for all beverage that we're selling for 450,000 plus have dropped to the mid twos. So this is, to use an insensitive word, this is an exciting time. There are going to be a lot of opportunities for people who do have the resources. Somebody opening a restaurant who can weather the coming months or even years will be positioned to do very well with far less competition than exists today. And the opposite, unfortunately, is true. Those restaurants who are not finding themselves with deep reserves are not going to sustain through this.
I don't even know if deep reserves will do it. If you're running, I read an article from, I think it was the Financial Post in England a couple of months ago that said that they thought long-term that large restaurants were going to do worse than small ones because they cannot fill capacity by just serving outside. And their cost of operations is just so immense when there's chains, and they just cannot absorb, they just can't redo their performance so dramatically to stay in existence.
That's very true, Jeff. And you've got these huge chains where there's been a laziness about the approach. We do a lot of franchise work, a lot of lending on that side. And you'll see companies where they let the two or three lead restaurants, these units will carry a dozen in underperforming areas. They don't have that luxury now. Now the lead restaurants are struggling to survive. And with the extra weight of these foundering restaurants, they're going to get pulled down. And you're right, they have the same fixed cost, whether they're seating six tables outside or 25 tables inside. And so that's simple math, they're not going to survive that.
Oh, Alex, are you seeing anything different when you were in the last recession? Because again, you're all things bankruptcy, you're an authority, you've been doing, I think you even had the Boston Bar Association's bankruptcy division. So from where the recession of 2007, 2008 began, and now the pandemic now, have you seen a difference in terms of how businesses are reacting?
There's been a huge difference. And just as an aside, I respect my colleagues in the BBA too much to take credit for leading the bankruptcy section. I'm on the steering committee, but I've never chaired that. So honor should go where it's due, Mark. But thank you for the compliment. The interesting part of this recession to me is that it's been inverted. On our last recession, we saw a real estate bubble that burst. We saw a lack of money in the system to be able to support the values that were in these businesses and in this real estate. And we saw businesses that were not viable, failing, and dragging down lenders with them. this time around, we're almost seeing the opposite. We're seeing a significant amount of capital in the markets, but nowhere to use it. And you've got otherwise viable businesses that are closing down because they've been forced through the quarantine to stop doing business effectively. So we don't have failing businesses that can't get an injection of capital. We've got strong businesses with lots of access to capital, but nowhere to use it. And so it's a very strange market. It's unprecedented in, you know, my admittedly limited experience. You know, I've only been doing this for not quite a quarter century, but I don't know anyone who's lived through anything like this before.
Well, what's happened, it seems to me, it's not a economic recession as its starting point. It's a complete change in human behavior. People don't want to go to restaurants now that they're reopened. People don't want to go into stores. It's, you know, there's plenty of capital on the sidelines, but there isn't, people aren't spending money to support these businesses out of fear that they're going to get sick. And so it's such a change in human behavior. In the 08 period, you know, it was a pure, you know, people were hurting financially, but they weren't afraid to go out of their house and to go into a store and to go to a barber shop or all these, you know, all these things. It's, you know, in my career, which is slightly longer than yours, Alex, not much, just a little bit. I've never seen anything like it. It's just, it's incredible. And I wonder how permanent some of the changes are. You know, my wife and I used to, before this, travel a lot. And, you know, when we were in Asia, you know, people were wearing masks routinely. But for years, I think, because of SARS, but it was so many years after SARS, people weren't afraid to be with other people. But now people are afraid to be with other people. And you hear about the mask wearers and the non-mask wearers. And it's really unbelievable.
I think Mark's right. Mark's seeing on the consumer side sort of how we're reacting in this, for lack of a better term, psychological recession, behavioral recession. And I think we're going to see sweeping changes on the commercial side as well. You know, not to open a can of worms, but the real estate market in Boston is just absolutely in turmoil. And I think as companies come back, we're going to see a dramatic change in the way they come back. Whether companies will continue to rent entire floors of Class A space in downtown Boston at a premium, or whether they'll start a hotel office space for 10 or 20 or 30% of their staff to cut down those massive, massive lease costs. What will that do to real estate owners? What will that do to the lenders and servicers? I think that remains to be seen.
And I heard yesterday that some of these mall owners are now considering that they might have to convert these malls into housing facilities for, let's say, the elderly, the infirmed. And so there's like even reconstructing the way we see these properties and their use in the future, not just in terms of office space, but really starting over again with, you know, so I think we're in for a lot of change. And clearly someone like you is going to be very busy for the next few years. And, you know, hopefully we're going to bring you back a lot. So I'm going to go to everybody else first. Mark Furman, Tarla Breed Hart and Rogers, if someone's looking for you, how would they find you?
I can be reached at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com, or it's 617-218-2025.
Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing, thank you for bringing Alex on board. How can we find you?
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for not only having Alex, which I was very excited to listen to, but the great Mark Furman and having me. I'm markzlegal.com, M-A-R-C-Z, legal.com, and 617-338-1300.
And Alex, I'm going to try to reach out to you if I'm not too busy today at some point, because you definitely stimulated me. How can people find you at Pierce Atwood?
Thanks, Jeff. So pierceatwood.com, you should, if everything's going smoothly, see the name of the firm above my head. PierceAtwood.com, Amatera, A-M-A-T-T-E-R-A, at PierceAtwood.com, or of course by telephone 617-488-8112.
Well, you know, I think your bow tie is bigger than Mark Furman's partner's bow tie. So it's quite a lot. If you know Rick Breed, that's, you got quite a big one on there. So you tied that one yourself too, didn't you?
You wear it well, Alex.
Well, thank you very much. Hopefully it's not just superficial.
I tried a bow tie once. I look like a clown. So remind everybody that this is Radio Entrepreneurs. These are the reporters, the legal reporters on Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to be coming back regularly with more stories as this economy continues to evolve and change. Thank you very much, everyone.